Good morning.
Good morning.
So what is today? Pentecost Sunday. What are we talking about? It's Pentecost Sunday. What are we talking about? The Holy Spirit, right? That's what we're talking about. That's what happened on Pentecost Sunday, is the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples, right? So that's what we're talking about. So I just have one question before I get started. Can somebody explain the Holy Spirit to me real quick? Right? Because, my favorite explanation of the Holy Spirit is by Francis Chan. It's the title of one of his books. It's called The Forgotten God. And it's all of the whole book's about the Holy Spirit, but the title is The Forgotten God. And that drives home for me my understanding of the Holy Spirit. Because I understand God, the being that created everything, Creator God. I understand Jesus. Jesus was the Son of God, both fully human, fully divine, who gave his life for the forgiveness of our sins. And I understand that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples on Pentecost and fills us all, but there's so much that I don't understand about the Holy Spirit, so don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Holy Spirit. As Methodists, we believe in God, three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But let's face it, there's also a little scariness that comes along with the Holy Spirit, right? How many people have ever heard or ever spoken in tongues, right? How many people understand that? It's scriptural. The Holy Spirit gives us utterances. And my mom spoke in tongues. And I know other people that have spoken in tongues. And I know their heart is real. And I know it was true. But I just don't understand it, right? How many people have ever been or ever heard of being slain in the Spirit, right? I can't see hands, so you got to verbally, amen, something. What's that all about, right? How does that work? What does the Holy Spirit really do? How does he work among us? Well, I was trying to find the scripture for this week, and it's all in Acts 2, Pentecost Sunday, and I was trying to pick out 8, 9, or 10 verses that I could really focus on that captured everything I wanted, because I know y'all don't want to hear me read all day long, but I really couldn't narrow it down. The whole chapter of Acts 2 really is the basis of my understanding of the Holy Spirit, and so we're going to talk about the whole chapter, but I'll try not to bore you with just reading it. So what is the Holy Spirit, and how does it work, and how does it affect our lives? Yes, I believe in speaking in tongues, slaying in the Spirit, healings. I believe that there's a sweet Spirit that fills this place, especially when we sing that song. You can feel the warmth in it. But I also believe when I go to a Pentecostal church and I see people jumping up and down and running down the aisles, that the Holy Spirit works in that way too. There's an excitement, there's a joy, there's just this drive to move that happens when the Holy Spirit falls on us and when the Holy Spirit works in us. So we're going to start at the beginning of Acts chapter 2, and we'll just see what happens when the Holy Spirit is poured out on the disciples. Acts 2, when the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then, when they heard one after another their own mother tongues being spoken, they were blown away. They couldn't, for the life of them, figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we hear them talking in our own mother tongues? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our language, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make heads or tail of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. What's going on here? Others joked, they're drunk on cheap wine. So I believe in speaking in tongues and spiritual utterances. But I don't think that's the only language that the Spirit moves in. I really believe there's three anchors in this passage that define the Holy Spirit for me and how it works. And then there's a whole plethora of ways in which the Holy Spirit works within those three anchors for me. So the first is found in this passage I just read, right? It says that the Spirit fell on them and they began speaking in other languages. And everybody around ran to them and were amazed at the fact that they understood the disciples in their own mother tongues. So for me, the first anchor of the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works in all of our lives is the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to communicate with other people in their own language. Now, am I talking just Spanish? You're going to wake up tomorrow and be able to speak Spanish all of a sudden? No, not if you're taking Spanish in school. That's not how it's going to work, right? However, I do think that there are many different languages out there that the Holy Spirit makes us fluent in. It gives us the ability to communicate with people that are different from us, that come from different backgrounds, that have a different upbringing, that have a different social status, that have a different outlook on life, that vote differently than us, that think differently than us, that look differently than us, that come from somewhere we can't imagine, but the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to communicate effectively. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to communicate effectively. And what does it say that they're talking about when the Holy Spirit's poured out on them? They're telling us all about God's good works, right? So I firmly believe that we can go up to anybody we come in contact with, and the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to communicate what God has done in our lives with anybody. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what background they have, what they look like, what their social status is. It doesn't matter that we didn't grow up the same way. What matters is that the Holy Spirit will work in that moment and give us the ability to talk about what God has done in our lives. That's the first anchor. What does that look like? Does that look like jumping up and down and shouting and running around in a church? It may. It depends on what church you're at. Does it look like sitting and contemplating and just letting God work through the music and in the silence? Yes. It may be that. Does it look like sitting down and having a cup of coffee with somebody that is completely different than us? Yes, it can be that too. Does it look like seeing somebody on the side of the road and stopping and saying, hey, and acknowledging them when 10,000 people have ignored them? That may be a way that the Spirit works in us to communicate God's good works. What's the other thing that the Spirit does? The other anchor that I see in this passage, that happens when Peter stands up just after this. After they get accused of being drunk, Peter stands up and says, fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people are not drunk, as some of you expect. They haven't had time to drink. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, and also your daughters. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I will pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they will prophesy. I will set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen carefully to these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, a man thoroughly accredited by God to you, the miracles and wonders and signs that God did through him are common knowledge. This Jesus, following the deliberate and well-thought-out plan of God, was betrayed by men who took the law into their own hands and was handed over to you. And you pinned him to the cross and killed him. But God untied the death ropes and raised him up. Death was no match for him. So what does Peter do as soon as he finds the Spirit filling him and the Spirit giving him the ability to communicate with anyone God brings around him? What does Peter do? Peter is filled with this excitement. I mean, who wouldn't be, right? There is a gale force wind that just blew through the room. Who wouldn't be excited? Are you going to tell me you wouldn't be one of those people that would jump up and run around the room shouting and screaming hallelujah if this room just burst full of wind and the Holy Spirit fell upon us? There's an excitement that comes with that, right? There's an excitement that comes when we meet Jesus for the first time. There's an excitement that comes when we find out that even though we were the ones holding the nails and hammering them into his arms and then lifting up the cross with our actions, when we find out that even though we did all that and we're not worthy of grace, that Jesus died for us anyway, that we are forgiven anyway, when we find that out, there's an excitement that comes with the fact that we are forgiven even though we don't deserve it, right? There's an excitement that comes with that. And that excitement comes when the Holy Spirit fills us and confirms that forgiveness for us and reminds us. It reminds us that even though we don't deserve it, we get it because God loves us that much. And in this excitement, in this excitement that Peter feels and in thinking about the life that Jesus lived and thinking about everything he saw in Jesus and through Jesus while he was with Jesus, even though the understanding that he denied Jesus and was still forgiven, when all of that hits home, all he can do is stand up and talk about it. When he finds out he has this ability to communicate with people that are different than him, that came from different places, that grew up in different households, that grew up in a different culture, and he has the ability to communicate with them, he is filled with this excitement of grace and mercy, and he has to stand up and talk about it. That's one of the second anchors for me that the Holy Spirit works in. He reminds us that we can communicate with people that are different than us, and then he confirms for us that Jesus is real and Jesus has forgiven us, and he fills us with this excitement that says, I can't contain this to myself, right? I can't hold on to this. I can't just sit and not do anything because I don't deserve what I got, and I got this amazing gift, and I got to tell somebody else about it. I mean, when you first met Jesus, when you were first filled with the Holy Spirit, have you not told anybody about your journey? Have you not shared this amazing life that we're given only through Jesus? That's a question you can answer, yes, no. I mean, did you not even share it with your spouse? Did you not even share it with a good friend? Have you held it in this whole time? If so, I know there's something inside of you that's bubbling, something inside of you that wants to burst out and wants to let this gale force wind blow from you into the world around you, because that's how the Holy Spirit works. We can't just sit and do nothing when we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, and all of us do. There is a drive, whether we act on it or not, that tells us we gotta go do something. And we can't worry about what we'll say or how we'll say it, because the Holy Spirit says, I will communicate through you. I mean, we don't even have to necessarily speak the right words, right? How many in here have a teenager? How many, do you understand what's coming out of their mouths? Half the time I don't. They say words I've never heard of. Or, how many in here use the excuse, well, I'm not a preacher. I'm not, I don't know the Bible. Well, join the club. I'm not a preacher. I mean, somebody gave me the title of reverend, but when Jesus called me to preach, I said, no, you're wrong. And he said, you're going to do it anyway. And every Sunday that I preach, I get up here and I say, you know what, God? You put me here, you're going to have to work. And you know what happens? At least one person, not everybody, and I get a lot of negative, but at least one person says, hey, that spoke to me. Do you think those are the words I'm using, or do you think that's the Holy Spirit working through me? Because I promise you right now, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit and how he works. He gives us the ability to communicate with people, being ourselves, using our own words. He communicates through us, and then he fills us with this excitement that says, you got to talk about it. You got to go and do. You can't sit and hide in the room at the top of the stairs. You got to let it out. And what happens when you do is he shows up and he does amazing things through it. What happens when Peter does it? Do we know what happens? I know y'all know. I know y'all have read the Bible. How many people are saved? A bunch. That's a good answer. That day. So Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. He can't sit in the room. He has to go out. The other 12 go out, or the other 11 go out with them. And that day, about 3,000 took him at his word, were baptized, and were signed up. Signed up. Signed up to receive the Holy Spirit. They committed themselves to the teaching of the apostles, the life together in the common meal and the prayers. You know what happens when you let the Holy Spirit work through you? When you let that excitement that the Holy Spirit fills you with bubble over and come out of you? You know what happens is other people in your life say, I want some of that. I want to know what that's like. I want to know what it is to feel that peace, to feel that joy, to feel that grace, to feel that mercy. That's what happens when we quit putting restraints on the Holy Spirit in our life. And we say, I'm going to live with the Holy Spirit active in my life. I'm going to trust that I don't have to know the right words or say the right words or know how to interact completely perfectly. I can just be me and I can approach people and the Holy Spirit will work and be able to communicate through me, and I'm going to trust that this excitement that I feel, this grace that I feel, this mercy that I feel, that I know I don't deserve, can be explained through the Holy Spirit's words, and I can share that with other people, and whatever I say, the Holy Spirit will move and work. And however that looks, however that looks. So what? If you are talking to somebody, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just starts blabbering through you. So what? So what? So what if you're talking to somebody, retelling your story about how you met Jesus, and you get so excited that you start clapping in the middle of what you're saying because you can't contain yourself. So what? So what? So what if in the moment that you're talking to somebody and you're sharing this excitement and this joy and this love and this mercy and you're just being you and you're pouring your words out and the Holy Spirit starts moving, so what if there's this silence that falls and y'all just sit there together and you just let the Holy Spirit move in that quiet? So what? So what? What is it that makes us so afraid to live into this life that we're given, to let the Holy Spirit move in it and work in it and flow through us, that we collar it and say, you know what, this isn't the time or place? Why do we do that? Why do we do that? So what? What happens when we just live in the Spirit, by the Spirit? Well, you want to know what happens, you keep reading Acts 2, right? Here's what happens. Let me find it. Everyone around was in awe. All those wonders and signs done through the apostles and all the believers lived in a wonderful harmony, holding everything in common. They sold whatever they owned and pooled their resources so that each person's needs was met. They followed A daily discipline of worship in the temple, followed by meals at a home. Every meal was a celebration, exuberant and joyful as they praised God together. People in general, so the people around them saw what they saw and they liked it. Every day their number grew as God added those who were saved. You know what happens when we work and live by the Spirit? When we stop worrying about what other people are going to think about how we might appear? When we start trusting the Spirit at work in us, when we live with that excitement of the life we're given, you know what happens is we begin to live in community and communion with one another. We begin to become the body of Christ. We begin to become the body of Christ, not the bodies of Christ, but the body of Christ. We know that scripture, right? We're all the body of Christ with one head. Some of us are the feet and the hands and the eyes and the ears and the fingers and the toes and the knees. We all serve different parts, right? But we're one body. But how can we be one body when we're so constricted with the Holy Spirit that we don't let him move, we don't talk to each other, we don't live in harmony, we're too worried about how our neighbor votes or talks or acts or thinks, and if somebody disagrees with us, we're not willing to listen and be present with them, we just shut them out of our lives because we haven't let the Holy Spirit begin to work its ability to communicate in between us, so we can't be the body. But when we begin to live by the Spirit, with the Spirit, and we live with the understanding that he will communicate through us and that we can share that excitement we have because we know that we're saved, and then we live in community together and we can sit down with people that are different with us and we can share meals intentionally with people that are different than us and we can take care of each other and love each other. What happens is we begin to live in the kingdom of God here and now, which is the gospel that Jesus preached. If we want to live into the kingdom of God here and now, we have to live into the Holy Spirit that's been poured out on all of us. We cannot stifle the Spirit within us. We can't hide inside the walls of the church and only share a little bit of the Spirit when we get together each and every Sunday. We have to let that grow and blossom and flow through us so that God, not us, God can add the people he wants to add. Think about that. That goes to this whole idea. We think the church is ours. We think we're adding the people to the church. We think that me and Bill's awesome sermons and Kate and Jenny's songs and y'all's ability to welcome people, we think that's what drawing people in. But let's face it, it's not. It has nothing to do with us. It's God's Spirit at work that draws people to him, and we're asked to live in that Spirit, by that Spirit, with that Spirit proudly, so that when people get here, they're drawn in, and they're brought into this community that says we're going to love like God loved, and we're going to live in the Spirit that he's filled us with, because that's where we find life. That's where we find life. That's what Pentecost really is. And all of the other stuff about the Spirit of God that you hear, yes, it can be true. Yes, you may not understand it, but I promise you it fits in one of these areas. It either is a way that people communicate, or it's an excitement that just flows through them, or it's a way that draws people into community together. And it says, we're going to take care of you. And we mean it when we say it. If you need help, we're going to help. If you need to be picked up, we're going to pick you up. If you need to just fellowship, we're going to fellowship with you. And it's going to be perfect because that's the way God intended it. That's the way God works. That's because the Holy Spirit is God at work in all of us. Amen? Man. We're definitely going to have to work on becoming a little bit more like the old Methodist. You know what we used to be called? We used to be called the Shouting Methodist or the jumping Methodist. Y'all haven't said nothing. You know, I'm up here jumping and shouting. It's okay to get excited about the Holy Spirit and work in all of us. It's okay. You know what? You know what I'm going to miss about Bernie Tindall? Amen. Bernie Tindall was always, you could count on it. You could count on it every Sunday. Amen. Every Sunday, I'm going to miss that. So we're going to have to step that up, right? It's okay to get excited about God and what he's done for you. Because I promise you, there are days where we will look back and we know that our actions were the ones that held the nail and hammered them into God's wrists and feet. Because we make mistakes, but I also promise you the Holy Spirit is there to remind us that even though we don't deserve it, that grace is there. That forgiveness is already given. You know what? It also reminds us that we get to share a meal together. And I'm going to ask Kate to come up because that's what we're about to do. We're about to commune together. We're going to let the Holy Spirit be at work. And we're going to be the body of Christ. And we're going to sit here at this table. You're going to come forward. Kate will hand you a piece of bread. You're going to dip it in the wine. And then you're going to go sit and share a meal with everybody in here and with the Holy Spirit at work, reminding us what this meal is about. And it doesn't just happen on the first Sunday of the month. It happens every morning, every day at lunch, every night when you sit down at the table. It happens when you stop and you get a snack. It happens when you share a cup of coffee with somebody. It's an opportunity to remember what the Holy Spirit is doing in and through you. What Jesus has done for all of us. It's a reminder that God gave himself willingly. And that he shed his blood willingly so that all of us in this room and everybody in the world, think about that, everybody in the world can be forgiven. Think about that. That's crazy, right? Even the bad guys get the opportunity to be forgiven. Even the worst of the worst get the opportunity to be forgiven. And it happens around a meal. It happens when we let the Holy Spirit work through us and we become the body of Christ. God took bread at the table and he broke it. And then he passed it around the table and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." And then he took the cup and he passed the wine around the table and said, "Take, drink. When you do this, remember, this is my blood shed for the forgiveness of sins." Shed for the forgiveness of sins of everyone. Wherever you find yourself, whenever you sit down at a table, whenever you share a meal with somebody else, take that opportunity to remember that you and they are forgiven. And you can live in the kingdom of God here and now. Wow, that's a powerful thought. We're going to pray, and then we're going to invite you to come forward. We have some gluten-free options here, and I have the cups if anybody would like to have the to-go cups. But let's pray. Heavenly Father, really the only prayer is, come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. Lord, remind us that we can communicate with anybody with your help. Remind us of the joy and the excitement that you have filled us with. The truth that we are forgiven and that they are forgiven. And that we can live into community with one another. That we can live into the kingdom of God here and now as one body. Lord, pour out your spirit on these elements here. Let this bread and this wine be the body and blood of Christ so that when we take a bite and we taste the goodness of your love, that we are filled to the brim with your spirit So much so that we can't hold on. We can't hide out in a room. We have to go out and we have to share that with everyone we come in contact with. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's start on my left, your right. And we'll start on this side and come around. Switch with me. The body and blood. This is forgiveness poured out for you. This is the Spirit of God at work, drawing us closer together, filling us with excitement, reminding us of the mercy available for all. No one is left out. No one is forgotten. There's no one we can't talk to. If God can use me as a preacher, He can use you as one. It's the blood of Christ, given for all. How powerful is that? Given for all. No one is unworthy. No one is too far gone. No one is rejected. No one is unseen. No one is ignored, cast out. The blood of Christ. The blood of Christ.
Friends, I'd like to ask that you stand and let's close together. So earlier in the week when we started rehearsing this song, I didn't really want to sing it. I was like, let's not do that one. And my friend back here, Robert, said, we need to do that one. That song is so perfect. And when you think about the words, it's so perfect because all my life you have been faithful. All my